Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The ultimate football team.
The ultimate football show.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hour
on Sports Radio WEEI.
The most comprehensive, in-depth presentation anywhere concerning fantasy football. The Fantasy Football Hour is brought to you by Anderson Windows and your local Anderson Window dealer. By Moxie Soda, by Gould's Distinctive Clothing, and by Atlantic Power Cleaning. The fun and games starts now.
Welcome to the jungle. We've got fun and games.
Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson.
All right, good morning, everybody. Jim Hackett, Fantasy Football Hour, along with Mr. Pete Davidson. Good morning, Pete.
Hacksaw.
What's up, brother?
Well, you want the truth?
Sure, hit it.
I just spilled water all over my desk.
That's fun. I did that to someone on Friday. I went over there.
Like during the intro song, I spilled water.
I went to someone.
I'm okay, though. It's going
to
be all right.
Went to someone the other day, and I was like, hey, what's up? I was like, I give them like a knuckle bang or a high five, and I knocked their water bottle all over this stuff. Like, so glad you came by.
Yeah, we don't get enough sleep. It's all okay.
That's all right. Hey, so let's get into it. Week 3, Pats Jets at 1 o'clock. And no.
You want to talk about that?
Not really. I think the.
Buy tickets. Go. Watch the Jets. It's sort of like buying tickets to the end of Braveheart.
Yeah. I would rather have seen the 3 hours that preceded him getting his head chopped off and all the other stuff that happened.
I'm just saying it's going to be like the end.
Yeah, I would say the spread
is...
There's
not going to be anything inspiring leading up to
the spread is 17 or 18 points light to me. I think it's I'd go 40-plus on this one.
Yeah, it's just, look, the Jets aren't tanking like the Dolphins. They're just organically this bad. And look, they've had some stuff happen to them. The Darnold thing's a little bit of a bad
Darnold thing. Getting the Richie Cunningham mononucleosis. Didn't see that coming.
Neither did he, I guess. This tanking thing could become a problem. I don't think enough people are looking at it from like the big perspective. People are looking at it from the individual perspective. But, if teams that clearly are going into the tank start losing their best players consistently in August, the product itself is going to suffer.
There's a lot of not well-armed teams right now in the league. The league looks pretty weak.
I think sometimes we forget that there is a modicum of quality on the field.
Yeah.
And that if you actually have several teams every year that are so bad that Vegas can't even figure out how to spread it, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
I think some people are not realizing how significant of a problem that would be. So the NFL has a problem because you need to figure out a way to incentivize teams to not tank so badly that they're no longer an NFL product. And I'm not exactly sure how you do it.
There's a lot of young quarterbacks playing this week, and the league needs like some thumbs up performances from these guys to feel good about where they are in terms of the league. You know,
QB transition is something you can't avoid. It's going to happen. Yeah. Obviously, we sort of got a
jump start with it last week.
Yeah. A major transfusion all of a sudden. We didn't think it was going to be so much so fast, but there's nothing you can do about evolution and all of that. But teams intentionally being bad, in the NBA, it's one thing. Because you can figure out a way to play basketball 5-on-5 and make it look like basketball.
Yeah.
But if you have a high school team
until about March,
you can. When you have high school teams going up against NFL teams, that's no longer a product.
Yeah.
I'm just playing the tape all the way to the end here. If this becomes a thing where multiple teams are doing it every year, it's going to mess up the slate.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at the slate, and there's about 3 or 4 games I want to talk about, and that's not good. You want it to have at least 8 or 9 games that you can say, wow, I want to catch the action of that game and have some fantasy relevance as well.
Yeah, I think it's a great slate, but you know, the problem we're describing hasn't gone full blown yet, right?
Yep.
Like I'm saying, what happens in 2 or 3 years if this becomes a common thing and it gets worse, you know? Right now I'd say it's manageable. I mean, the Dolphins are pretty scary bad, but, you know, it is weird. A team going into Dallas and people are like, well, what's going to happen to them? Like Dallas has to be at least sort of good for that to be the case, right?
Well, they've got an implied point total of over 35 points. And I think that's actually light again. You know, I think that's, you know, so there's some big spreads and a lot to kind of get into.
Dallas, we haven't, even when they've sort of been turning the corner, we've never really taken them seriously. It feels like suddenly we're taking them seriously.
Well, Dak's playing great and we haven't really even seen full-blown Elliott yet. So, you know what I mean?
I mean, Dak is playing great, but I think it's more about just that offense being complete. I mean, he gets protection. He's got a great running game, and the receivers are now good.
Yep.
So,
they're stepping up.
Yeah, Dak's looking good, and he throws a good deep ball.
All right, so I want to get into a lot of stuff. And so I just before we get into the slate, and we're going to get questions that are already coming in at 37937, so keep them coming. We're going to hit those, but kind of lay it out. We'll go through some news around the league, a little Pats talk, and then we'll get into some locks of the week. Getting into things later, and then your text at 37937. But we'll take them as they're relevant to what we're talking about as the show goes on. But I kind of want to just start, Pete, with welcoming back Flash Gordon, Philip Dorsett, and James White to Fantasy Relevance now that AB is out of town. And I've got an article I wrote 11 days ago on WEI.com that's going to age pretty well, I think, which was after further review with Antonio Brown, I'm all set. And so I'm not sure
why you needed the further review, to be honest, but okay.
I don't write the headlines. You know what I mean?
But, okay. All right. There you go.
Just write the articles. But
that was a good. That's a good dodge hack.
There
I
you
like
go.
That.
Dive, dodge, dive, dip, duck, night. Dodge, and dodge.
You know, you said.
You said dodge twice. All right. Let's get into it. So again, but I think for the Patriots, it's back to Patriots football, spreading the ball around and feeding everybody. And this guy's like, I think Flash Gordon's a nice play this week. I would think Philip Dorsett has some upside. And I'd like to welcome back James White. He was the guy I was most concerned about with Antonio Brown coming to town with the kind of quick pass outlet kind of thing. I think he becomes more fantasy relevant again. And I'm expecting some big things from him today.
Okay.
I also wanted to take.
I'm not. But that's
you're
okay.
not. I also.
No.
Want,
why would James White do anything against the Jets? They're going to be up like 90 points at the end of the first quarter.
Look at.
I'd say it's a Sony.
He could have. You know, two of the touchdowns are going to happen against the Jets. Could be James White.
Yeah, but
short
it's not
throws.
A good bet. You're going to have to bet on James White doing something early. I don't like it.
One thing on Sony, I wanted to mention.
I'm with you. The rest of the season, James White got life.
Yeah,
I agree.
But I wanted to tell you, you bumped up Sony in your rankings. I thought he was a little low there for a while. I thought 20 was a little bit low, and he's up to 16
rankings,
now.
Bro.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But to me, this week screams Sony Michel. You know,
yeah. I mean, but they haven't really given him that steady diet that we've been looking for. Other people have been involved, and you know.
This could be the day.
Yeah, this could be the day. Look, the Patriots have a lot of guys. You don't know where the touchdowns are going to come from. They could all come from Gordon. They could all come from Edelman. You know, some of these no-name guys could score. Devlin could score. They do it so many ways. Brady could get a one-yard dive. There's so many things that can happen to mess up your receiver with the Patriots. And this is an odd conversation, but it's more concerning when you're playing a team like the Jets who may not require you to play full-blown offense for very long.
Mm.
You know, if the Patriots are playing a good team, then, yeah, everybody can get involved. But, yeah, I mean, it could be a Sony day, especially if he's the guy who gets it early, sort of organically.
Yeah.
And then it swings to him. Yeah, it could be a big Sony day.
Yeah. All right, so let's move around.
But you know what we don't
bit.
Know? We talked about this last week. Is Harris going to be active? That's a big deal.
Well, that's a tell, right? If Harris is active, he could be the guy who runs it late.
It's a tell, but it's a concern. Right, because if Harris is active, then second half could just be Harris.
Yeah, he could get all the fourth quarter, you know, dishes. So we'll see how it goes. Yeah. I will say this: I think you know you never know exactly how it's going to play out, but I suspect the Patriots will be up very deeply, and in that scenario, against a team like the Jets, I don't think they take their foot off the gas against the Jets. Now, what that looks like and how they run it and who they give it to, I don't know, but they'll keep playing.
I disagree. I think at some point they are going to take their foot off the gas because they look like jerks otherwise.
I think Belichick needs
not,
a
This
a
is
four.
Not a typical game, Jim. This is completely defenseless football team against maybe the best. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with you. Belichick will enjoy rubbing the Jets' noses in it. But I think that's like the second quarter.
It might be. I think I was going to say four scores. He needs four scores before
he taps
the brakes.
Playing. Stats are going to happen somewhere. And maybe it will be a big Sony day. It could be. That's why I moved him up. But
yeah.
It's sort of whack-a-mole with the Patriots. They can hit you so many ways, even without Antonio Brown.
Yep. All right, I want to move around to some news around the league because there's some players you're going to need to kind of get your arms around for your lineups this week. So in one of the games with the Colts and the Falcons, which, you know, that's got a pretty good implied point total. You got a couple things to look at around game time. All right,
not a lot of interest in that game from a DFS point of view, but
they're guys that would be rostered in your seasonal. So T.Y. Hilton's got a quad. He should play, but he's going to give it a go.
Yeah, stay on top of him.
Yeah, stay on top of him. Game time decision is probably kind of what that's looking like in the Indy Falcons game.
He's probably going to play, but yeah.
I think so. And that's a game, you know, I kind of like him and the Falcons. It could be a fast game, which kind of, you know, lends itself to him.
I disagree. I think it's going to be a slow game.
Why do you say that?
Because that's the way the Colts want to play. It's the way they play all the time, man. I mean, they run clock. They run the football. They throw short passes that tend to be completed, so the clock runs. Colts don't want to go fast, not without luck.
Well, I think with Hilton, he gives them an opportunity for the big play, though. You know, so the quad's going to have to not be balky.
Their A-dot is low, man. It's low. They don't go deep right now. I mean, I'm with you. Hilton, where do I want to play Hilton? I want to play him at home.
Yeah.
I want to play him on turf.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Colts right now are a low-risk offense. They're looking to find explosion plays without taking, you know, without sticking their neck out. You know what I'm saying? You know, can the Falcons come in and force pace on them? Maybe. But the Falcons will have to do the scoring to sort of force the pace in this game.
Mm.
And, you know, the Colts do have some injuries on D. So if the Falcons can come in there, run a little bit, hit Julio, sort of get the thing going, then maybe this thing could open up.
And they have been hitting Julio in an odd twist of fate. He's got 3 touchdowns in 2 weeks, you know, which hasn't been their MO.
Yeah, but the Falcons were an absolute train wreck week one. You're talking about one game.
Yep.
So I don't know. I don't see that game as being fast paced. I mean, anything can evolve in any way, and certainly the Falcons have some weapons, but I think that game's going to be sort of a slog.
All right. Well, importantly though, so Hilton's got he's a game time decision. The other one is Marlon Mack. You know, so he's likely, but that's definitely a pregame warm up type of thing. He's nursing a calf, so keep your eye on that.
And he didn't practice till Friday, and
right.
It was limited.
Right. They do have a couple guys behind him, you know, that are relevant, Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines. But, you know, Max definitely the guy you want to keep an eye on.
Wilkins definitely a sleeper this week.
Yeah.
Looking for some cheap volume that might be lying around.
Yep. The other one that's kind of a little bit troubling is in the game I'm most excited about this week is KC versus Baltimore. Mark Andrews popped up as a 50-50.
Yeah, he
kind of suddenly.
Like a legit 50-50, too.
Yeah.
Like he's really a game-time thing, which is too bad. At least it's an early game.
Yeah, 1 o'clock game.
Yeah, people have options, but it's just, you know, he's a really cheap, could play on DraftKings. So people are going to be, if he gets deactivated, people are going to be scrambling.
Yeah, and he's really, you know, I think Lamar Jackson likes feeding him too. So it was a really nice looking play.
Yeah, and it's a tough spot because there aren't a lot of tight ends in his, like, there's no direct pivot from him.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to go to Kittle, you have to go up like $1,000. If you want to go to Ingram, you have to go up. About $600. So it's not an easy pivot. You have to sort of deconstruct your roster again.
Yep. And so it's a bit of a sudden thing. You know, instinctively, he could play, but it's definitely a game time decision. So look for those 11:30 warm ups and the 11:45 inactives that come out.
I think he's a little better than 50-50, but you definitely have to pay attention to that one.
Yeah. It just kind of creeped up. And New Orleans versus Seattle, Rashad Penny not expected with a hammy. And he actually midweek was kind of looking like he might get a little bit more play because, you know, Carson putting the ball on the ground. Penny
for
suddenly.
Sure. And he pulled his hammy in walkthroughs.
Yeah.
That's
not good. Yeah. He might want to consider stretching a little bit. So Rashad Penny not expected. And Pistol Pete didn't look happy about
it. Sort of want to ask Bill Parcells what happened on that one. Just kidding.
All right. Let's see. And then Philly, Detroit, Dallas Goedert nursing a calf. He's a game time decision. I mean, why they even bring that up? It's because obviously you've got no DeSean Jackson and probably no Alshon, you know?
So. I mean, I think under normal circumstances, there's no way they'd be pushing Goddard to play. But I think maybe they're just trying to have a couple guys who are active.
Yeah.
Like, they're hoping to, like, they don't want Alshon to play. They just want him active in case. They need a couple guys standing around just because they got so many guys who are hurting. Ertz and Aguilar this week.
Definitely.
They're going to get some targets.
Yeah, and Jaja, maybe they might see Arcega Whiteside, the rookie.
If Alshon is indeed out, then Arcega Whiteside definitely is going to get some run.
Yep.
And it'll be interesting to watch. He's got a tough matchup if he plays, but still it'll be just nice to have a full game of film on him to dissect.
Yeah, no doubt. And so those are kind of like the big injuries that are around, the ones that you probably know about. If you roster Jordan Reed, he's still, you know, weeks away with a concussion. He's had about 7 to 10 of those, so no shock there.
Jordan Reed probably should retire.
He's one of those guys. Yeah, I think so, too.
We'll miss him. He's fun to watch. He's a great player. But yeah, you're right. This is like... He's had a lot of these things now. This is a multiple week, and they're saying he might be more, like multiple weeks from today. And if you've had like 8 or 9 concussions and you're on a concussion that's going to keep you out for a month, man.
Yeah.
Life is long.
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to see Jordan Reed dying in a car 15 years from
now. This isn't the first time we've talked about it. That's what worries me about him. No. I mean, this is like, you know, we've talked about it every year for years.
He's one of those guys where he's a gamer and he doesn't want to leave the game on someone else's terms. I get it, but. We've learned too much about this stuff. It'd probably be nice if he went to the broadcast booth or something.
Yep. Yeah, eventually. So we'll see what happens. So do not play him. And then
don't play Jordan Reed. Although Vernon Davis,
he's a viable guy. Unlike Jordan Reed, he's a guy you can actually depend on. No matter the ageless Vernon Davis, he won't go away.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah. Keeps going.
I mean, he's still a good player.
If you're stuck. So, I mean, that kind of puts a bow on it in terms of injuries. I think there's anything out there that's really... Too pressing. So I don't know if you want to hit your article that went up late yesterday, which is pretty good in terms of week 3 plays.
Well, let's
DFS kind of feel.
Let's talk about the Patriots a little bit.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, Antonio Brown is gone.
Yes, he is.
I think the general mood in New England should be good on that. Even though you lost a good player, it's like why do you want this guy staining this whole thing?
Well, I think the initial instinct was
I wish we could erase it and he was never here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look at I was at a charitable event that Saturday when the news dropped, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The general feeling was like a confused kind of excitement, like, oh, we just got Antonio Brown. But you got to remember, it's coming on the heels of a 33-3 drubbing of Pittsburgh where it didn't look like they needed that player, you know? So this feels to me like back in 2010 when the thing with Moss was starting to go the wrong way, they got rid of him and they went and brought Deion Branch back and they started to go back to their normal, at that point, Patriots offense. And I think, look, they've got enough talent on offense to obviously function at a really high level. So I feel like it's like, okay, would have been a nice carrot to have, would have been a nice add-on, would have been good for Brady, you know, especially given all the injuries on the offensive line. But I don't think people thought there was a need there. I certainly don't. And I think the offense is going to function just fine without him.
I disagree. I think there was a need. I think this could actually be the thing that takes the Patriots down this year.
Why do you say that? Because of no Gronkowski?
Because Josh Gordon's a problem.
Yeah.
Now Josh Gordon needs to be okay. You know, with Antonio Brown around, if something went wrong with Gordon, who cares? We've got this volume guy. Brown's arguably the best receiver in the world.
Yeah, there's
arguably,
no doubt.
Arguably, that's what he is.
But have you ever seen a player?
You can't. Like, we can say a lot of things. I think we're all happy that this is over. But the one thing we can't say is that this guy wasn't one of the best football players.
Now, look, the guy's great. And in short snaps last week, boy, did he flash. He got a touchdown. Right. He looked great. The offense moved great.
You saw the impact.
But have you ever seen a player have an 11 days like that? I mean, it wasn't just like 11. One story.
What day did he arrive in Oakland? And heck, the drama didn't begin. The drama
it started
before
in Pittsburgh.
He arrived, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, over an 11-day period, like oftentimes, and we're guilty of this in sports radio, there'll be a topic, and you can beat it into the ground for 11 days or 3 weeks or whatever it is. I've never seen over an 11-day period one person have more stories like surface. It was like a daily thing. There were new additions to the story every day, multiple times a day. It was crazy.
Right. And that's ultimately what happened, right?
Yeah, they just got sick of it.
Eventually just said, no, I don't care how good he is. I mean, this isn't worth it.
It might have been Belichick, too. I'm sure Kraft is raising his eyebrows.
I'm just going by the stories I saw this morning.
Yeah.
Kraft sort of initiated the thing. But,
but it was hard to keep track of. You know what I mean? It was like every morning you'd wake up and there'd be a new thing before you went to bed, a new thing. I mean, so it's like...
Well, it's sort of like the media with Trump. I mean, it's just... It's clicks anytime you start talking about it.
Yep.
So, you know, whether there's some Antonio Brown fatigue or not... it sells. People are going to talk about what people want to hear because they want people to click on stuff. What
yes.
are you going to do?
Yeah, so he's out of the way, but talked
right.
about it.
It's a shame with the Patriots, Jim, because there's so many other good things to talk about, right?
Right. And we were here.
That aren't like this.
We were on, you know, 8 in the morning after he signed the day before. And I said, actually, the first person I actually mentioned that it might be actually good for was Josh Gordon, just because he would come in and take so much of the spotlight
right.
away. I didn't anticipate it would be 7 stories a day for 11 days, but you knew it would take, because you almost forgot about Gordon.
The other thing, and this is really, let's veer into football real soon after.
Yeah, it's good to get it off the chest.
It may be, in a weird way, if you're Josh Gordon, you just got a really good right up in your face how not to.
That's true, too.
Like, he just got to watch Antonio Brown come in and just like
self-destruct
the whole thing happen. Like, okay, here's a good thing not to do. Like, let's not be sort of crazy. You know, let's not have my agent, my lawyer tweeting crazy stuff about me. You know, like Gordon's way of contrition and working and grinding and being sort of private about what's going on. It really looks refreshing right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me.
Well, listen, I think you said something at the top when we started the conversation, which is like, you know, now you're more reliant on Gordon, and that can be a little scary. But however, I would debate that in saying that, okay.
You're gonna debate that.
Well, no, you can't. I'm not debating that fact, but I would debate that it's going to bring the Patriots down, because clearly it didn't last year. They just morphed and they got it done. They won the Super Bowl. It was, you know, unlike what people were probably forecasting in October.
They had a little luck in the way. And
their defense is better, significantly,
maybe.
I would say.
I don't think – you're not winning a Super Bowl without Antonio Brown, Gronk, or Gordon, in my opinion. Don't have enough offense.
It'll remain to be seen. But if Gordon stays and Gordon does his
– I'm just saying.
But if Gordon does his thing, Pete, you know what I mean?
If Gordon does his thing, you got no problems at all. You know, you need one person to counterbalance Edelman, right? It could be Gronk. It could be Gordon. It can be AB. But you need something.
Well, you only got one of the three there.
Yeah.
So that's the guy.
And one's enough. Josh Gordon playing football at his normal level is more than enough to keep the Patriots exactly where they need to be. Super Bowl, no problem. All I'm saying is, if for some reason it goes off the rails, and I don't want it to because I'm really rooting for the kid.
Yeah, me too.
But it would be something that they would have to overcome logistically.
See, that's where you and I probably – that's where – and it could be fanboy glasses, but – I think I have no evidence to suggest that they can't overcome it. You know what I mean? Because I've just seen it too many times. I've seen them morph on the fly.
Is a strong word, but
won't. You know, I think they can overcome it
and win a Super Bowl with this team.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I disagree.
I think they got the defense for it, and I think they'll have enough offense. But I think
this team's going to get by the Chiefs.
I do.
Without the weapons. Without the weapons, I don't see it.
I think they can. I think they can. And right now they have the weapons.
I don't want this conversation to play out because I want Gordon to stay healthy. But if it does, you will be hearing about this conversation.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we'll bring it back. Let's put my stamp on it. All right.
You don't have to. I'm going to.
You'll probably forget. Anyway.
No, I won't.
Lots of texts. And just because one has to do, a couple have to do with Josh Gordon, I just want to hit him real quick. 603 okay. is a Josh
He's a
Gordon.
Good start this week all of a sudden.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon or Kiki Kuti. I say that's Gordon
gosh,
all
Josh
the way.
Gordon.
Yeah.
That's
fire
not
up Gordon.
That's not
don't.
Even close.
Don't take Pete's, you know, that all the world is falling, you know, the roof's caving in because Josh Gordon, you play him.
I didn't even remotely imply that. I know.
I'm just messing with you. But I would play Gordon all day, and that's
I'm rooting for Gordon. I think he's going to kick tail. But we know what the problem is, and if it happens, it's a problem.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm starting to think that my little $1 pickup of Mr. Philip Dorsett once Antonio Brown signed was a savvy one. And you might face him against me this week, by the way. I'm thinking about popping him in there.
Do it.
Yeah. You welcome that.
I welcome that.
All right. And
You know what? If the Jets weren't an awful football team that is embarrassing the tri-state area, I would think that might be a good move. But since you are not going to need a receiver for the last two-thirds of the football game, I say put him in your lineup.
Yeah. All right. So that's really it from like a Patriots perspective. I think you expect a romp. I think you give the points, and if you're into that. And
they're really good. The Jets are really bad. They're going to win.
Yeah.
Start your Patriots, and let's do our best to keep Josh Gordon sober.
Yeah, I wish I had a hand in that, man. But I think the world's rooting for him. I know I am.
Yeah. Well, you know what? keep saying good things about him. And you know what? Don't, can we do, like, is there a way we can sort of talk to the media and say, don't crowd Josh? Just, you know, ask a question and be on your way. I mean, we're most worried about the 3-touchdown game, and you know it's coming.
Yeah.
It's not. It's coming. He's going to light somebody up soon.
Might happen today.
It could happen in the first quarter.
Hey, look, on the other side of the field, I know that the Jets are pretty pathetic, although they do have some talent there.
It's not all their fault, but it's mostly their fault. You can't blame the mononucleosis thing on them.
Yeah, no, I mean that.
Although it's uniquely fitting, isn't it?
It is. It's I think we talked about it in preseason. Like, you know, I was like, you know, the Jets still look too bad on offense. So, like, something will happen. It won't work out. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Quote unquote. So, but we do have some texts coming in that regarding Robbie Anderson, who's a guy that you like and I like too.
Love him. Love Robbie.
But it's
not fair to him what's happening to him.
Right. Exactly. So one of the texts that came in is from 508. It's Robbie Anderson or Hawkinson.
He sort of deserves it too after what he did. He has some off-field stuff.
Well, look, he's a buffoon. I mean,
Sunday morning conversation.
No, if people are on their way to church, we're not going to say what Robbie Anderson said. You can Google it later.
Right.
But a 508 texter comes in and says Robbie Anderson or Hawkinson at flex. I'm probably leaning Hawkinson that way, only because I just don't think someone can get Robbie Anderson the ball.
Yeah, the problem is Robbie Anderson's going to be facing numero uno corner from the Patriots.
Right.
And that's not fun.
No, Gilmore might be the best in the league.
He very well might. And I think I would probably rather just go with Hawkinson this week.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because I think he's got a good chance at scoring a touchdown. And Robbie Anderson's going to do some things, but this is just, we'll see it when it happens. But folks, this is such a mismatch you're going to see today.
Yeah, I agree. Okay.
It's so bad.
When we get back from the break, I want to walk the slate. We are going to do our locks of the week from Craftmaster Hardware. We are going to review Pete's articles and the great plays that we do. And right now, we're going to hit a trending now.
Let's get back to Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on the Fantasy Football Hour on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, welcome back. WEEI Fantasy Football Hour. Jim Hackett, Pete Davidson. Taking your text at 37937. I just logged a million of them, so we're going to rifle through those. But before exactly.
I
got it. So before we start, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Anderson Windows and Shepley Wood Products, the local Anderson Windows dealer sponsoring this hour of the Fantasy Football Hour. And I want to get into our lock of the week, Pete. And so you get some hot plays in your article. Now, it's time for the lock of the week. It's brought to you by Craftmaster Hardware, security hardware, and locksmith supplies for your business at craftmasterhardware.com. Do you have some locks this week, my friend? I saw a few that I liked in your article yesterday.
I definitely have my core plays, the guys who I think are going to be hot this week. If we had to have just one lock, I think Zeke Elliott against Miami, where they're saying he's finally ready for a full workload.
Yeah.
They actually give him a full workload. Like, if Zeke touches the ball 25 times against Miami,
that could
you're going to want him to be in your lineup.
Yes.
There's no way around that. So I like Zeke even at 8,900 on DraftKings.
I really like that that lock sound. So I'm going to give you a couple more locks. Give me a couple more.
Well, I'll tell you who my hot plays are. There's four quarterbacks, and these guys are going to be like every week guys for me, Hack. They're just because you know me and the foot points, right?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen,
right?
Dare I say Daniel Jones?
Yeah, well, they call it the cheat code now, but I mean, you're someone who can back me up on this. I've been on the foot point cheat code for a decade.
Yeah, had me starting Tim Tebow years ago, and it worked out, by the way.
Yeah, so. Yeah, Josh Allen for sure at 5,900 units this week. Definitely on my list for a guy I want to stack like in tournaments to try to create a really high score.
Sure.
Same thing with Lamar Jackson, 7K. Now he's going up in the same game against Mahomes at 7,600. Right?
Yeah, that's tantalizing.
It's so much fun to like just to sit there and look at that game and be like, okay, if I want to stack this game, like just picking the quarterback, you could sit there for hours just going back and forth on it. It's really one of the reasons why DFS is fun when you look at a game like this. And the interesting thing about it is you want to play Mahomes. I mean, because you look at this game, you don't run against Baltimore, right?
You got to throw against them.
You've got to throw to beat them. They've got injuries in their secondary. Normally it's really strong. Right now it's just sort of good. So that's really where their relative weakness is. And then you look at the Chiefs and you're like, Damian Williams is out. LeSean McCoy's got a bad ankle. Like everything sort of points towards high pass volume.
I agree, yeah.
So you want to go with Mahomes, but here's where it gets tricky, right? If you want to stack Mahomes with his receivers, well, you got Kelce, you got Watkins, you got DeMarcus Robinson and Mecole Hardman. These guys are all playing major snaps. They're all at 5K and above.
Yep.
So there's you can make an argument that maybe it's better to stack Lamar, save $600, and we know that his targets are going to be concentrated really heavily between Hollywood and Andrews if Andrews plays.
Right.
So it's an interesting game just in terms of like how do I want to capture the most offense in this game? It may be a situation where playing the quarterback who scores less could be better depending on how it leads you to stack. Does that make sense?
It does. And if I were to stack Mahomes, I might be looking at not LeSean McCoy, but rather Darwin Thompson, who's a nice little cheap play.
Yeah. No, so you read the article.
I did, but I also but it's not an unoriginal thought. I mean, it's interesting because in fantasy,
it's weird. I haven't heard people talk.
Well,
about
I was just gonna say that. Like,
people are like, I'm not gonna say.
Well, going on in my ESPN leagues, like his, the minute Damian Williams went out, he got the out designation pretty early in the week too. It was like Wednesday or Thursday. I looked at like the projected point totals for Darwin Thompson, who was a free agent in this league, and it was like 1.4. I'm like, hey man, you're missing it. And I went and picked him up. I'm going to start him as a flex. I think you're right on the money. But for DFS, he's a $3,000 floor play, which is silly.
There's ways this can go wrong. I think I actually literally say that in the article. Because they're not starting Darwin Thompson. They're probably going to start McCoy, right?
Right.
So we have to sort of go, okay, well, how is this going to work? If we go by what we've seen so far and we go, well, McCoy's dinged up, then I think the logical way this plays out is McCoy takes his workload, the one he's been getting, and they just give Damian's workload to Darwin and keep the backfield balanced.
I would think so. Yeah.
That's what I think should happen. But how could we get punked? I guess they could go heavy McCoy, which would be a weird thing to do, right?
Well, look, he's 2 weeks or 3 weeks in with the team. He's 31. He's actually nursing a little injury himself.
Right. He's got the ankle.
Right.
So if you're the Chiefs, what's the McCoy thing about? It's about having him all the way through the season. It's about having him in games you really need to win. And this is a big game, but it's week three.
Yep.
Right? And the Chiefs, no one's catching the Chiefs in that division. Who are we kidding? So I don't think it makes sense for them to give Shady McCoy like 22 touches in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yep, I agree.
So if we go there, if we can establish that that's the sane approach, then we should be looking at 10 plus touches for Thompson at 3K. I'm on that.
Yeah, I think. Look, he just comes in and does the Damian Williams role, which is fine by me.
Right.
You know?
And here's the other thing. We're looking at it from a conservative point of view, but for a second, let's look at the high end of the range outcomes here. Because when we were talking about daily fantasy, we're looking to hit on things, right?
Yep. Yeah.
What if McCoy tweaks his ankle in the first quarter? Darwin Thompson ends up getting 24 touches at 3K.
Yeah, he blows up.
So, for me, I'm going too all in on this. If Darwin Thompson does nothing today, you don't want to talk to me at 7 o'clock. I'm going to be throwing lamps and pouring whiskey. But to me, it's too good an opportunity at 3K. I want to take the chance, but it is a chance.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are some good locks, and I appreciate that.
Oh, we got a lot more of them.
We do have more.
McCaffrey. I mean, those are the quarterbacks. Kyler is my big quarterback this week. He's my cash quarterback. But the three running backs, it's like the trinity this week for me: Zeke, McCaffrey, and Eckler. I just love the matchups for those guys, and I'm willing to pay the price.
Just speaking of Eckler, does Melvin Gordon become more and more irrelevant every day?
He is the shoe.
He's irrelevant.
He is the elephant in the corner.
Yeah.
At some point, he's going to come in and mess that backfield up.
I hope not.
But it's not happening Sunday. For $7,200 for Eckler this Sunday, I'm in.
Yep. Yeah, fire up Eckler if you can. All right, lots of texts coming in. You know what's an interesting new name?
Yeah, let's start hitting texts.
Yeah, a new name that's surfacing a lot, which is nice to see, is DeMarcus Robinson. We got a lot of DeMarcus Robinson questions.
My guy.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. So
it's nice to see him go off. I should have been on that more than I was.
I had him, and he helped me out in one of our dynasty dynasty league. Yep, yep.
I like it.
Head D, Rob. All right, 978. DeMarcus Robinson or John Ross? The two guys who really blew up
DeMarcus
this year.
DeMarcus Robinson.
I would take DeMarcus Robinson as well. Ross has a little bit of a tough matchup this week against Buffalo. Not an easy go for him. So DeMarcus
there. Buffalo's corners are nasty, and Ross is going to be playing outside for the most part. Not where you want to be.
Yeah, the injuries that come about stink. But what's interesting is there's the players that you and I both really like that start to surface, and that makes it kind of fun. 401 is Mecole Hardman or Philip Dorsett, the aforementioned Jim Hackett favorite of the week, Philip Dorsett.
Dorsett could do something, but I would go Hardman.
I would too, just because of the upside again, that really
I mean, you can check the weather on that game. It's supposed to be bad. You know, if it's for some reason going to be torrential and crazy high winds all the way through the game, you could change on that. But I would stick with you got a Mahomes weapon.
Yeah.
Play him.
KC Baltimore, you want to be in on that game.
Yeah.
So 9-4-1. He says it's non-PPR, which I would just call standard, but that's just me.
Yeah, whatever.
9-4-1 standard. Davante Adams, are you playing him? Philip Dorsett or DeMarcus Robinson? I think I could Davante, D-Rob, Dorsett. If it's 2 out of 3, I'd say Davante and D-Rob.
Well, Davante, Dorsett, Davante first, Dorsett last. Do what you got to do.
Yeah. 617, an interesting one here. Chris Carson or Sony Michel? I got them pretty close.
I'd go Carson, but no matter what you do there, you're potentially going to get burned.
Yeah.
But neither one of those guys, I think, is going to go belly up. So you're going to do fine either way. I would go Carson with Penny out.
I would agree. And we talked about that at the top of the show. Penny does not look like he's going to play. 617, same game here at Foxborough. Sony or Le'Veon Bell? I'm on Sony there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's close. That's really close.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's all the Jets have.
Look, Bell's, boy, that's a tough one. I think I would go, I think I'm with you, Jim, even though I'm going against my rankings here, but I think I'm with you. I just think, what are the odds that Sony goes belly up? You've got more floor with him.
Yeah.
Like, Le'Veon Bell's dinged up. The Jets, after a quarter, the Jets might just go, you know what? We're not playing Le'Veon anymore.
I also,
like, that could happen.
That could happen. I also just, I want to be on the positive side of the game script. That's where I'm leaning towards. I think I want Sony in that
game. This one's close. I have them pretty much right next to each other in the rankings. I think I'm with you, Jim.
All right. 617, standard scoring, A-Rob, Allen Robinson, or Emmanuel Sanders?
I would go Manny.
Yeah, Denver's sneaky okay in fantasy football
Manny's
this year.
Manny's looked great.
Yeah.
You've got guys dinged up on that team right now. So Sanders is going to get a ton of targets in this game. They're not going to be able to run much, I don't think, on Green Bay. They're going to have to throw. So Joe Flacco's not going to the Hall of Fame, at least not if there's a just God. But
he's serviceable.
Yeah, there's no way I'm going to take Trubisky over him right now.
Well, that's the thing.
And they're both good receivers.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, Allen Robinson's a great receiver, but like Trubisky's awful right now. And
that offense isn't clicking. Trubisky definitely hasn't been good. I need to see it getting better before I'm buying in.
Well, we were talking at the top.
I have
of
a 10 guy differential on this one. I've got Robinson 39, and I've got Manny at 32. So,
we were talking at the top of the show. You were saying that you thought the Falcons and Indy at Indy could be a slower pace. Talk about a slower pace. When I think slow, I think Chicago at the Redskins. That's going to be just like a.
Yeah,
that could be 9-6.
Chicago's weird. When they're not clicking, the pace does get a little bit ugly. They tend to complete short passes, so it's like 1 yard completion, the clock's running. You know, 2 yard completion, the clock's running. Running play, the clock's running. So yeah, they can suck the life out of a game, especially when things aren't working.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's a great one. 603. This guy's got good problems, and we just talked about the locks of the week with a quarterback, but Lamar Jackson, all right, in that shootout potentially at Kansas City, or my guy Josh Allen, Bengals at Bills.
There's no way I'm not. Unless I've got Mahomes, I'm not benching Lamar.
Yeah, that's as close as you get. I mean, I really like Josh Allen this week, but and every week, by the way.
I like Josh Allen in daily where I can get him for $1,000 cheaper.
Yeah.
But
in your lineup, you got to play Lamar.
I'm playing Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. Let's see.
And the weather is not scary for Lamar. He'll just run through the rain.
Yeah, very true. Here's another Josh Allen just came in. It's in large cap, so I'm just going to do it for the guy.
Okay.
There's other ones ahead of you, but I'm going to do it anyway. 508, Wentz or Josh Allen? I think I'm going Josh Allen there.
That's pretty close. I would. Oh man, that's close. That's really close.
Mm.
I don't think there's a bad decision there. Like, I don't think you can choose wrong. Wentz has a really good floor, though. I think is the one thing you want to mention.
Well, Wentz is going to be more controlled because he only has a couple options, right? He'll go to Ertz, I think, all day. If you get Zach Ertz, fire him up.
Right.
Arthaga Whiteside and Aguilar. So, but maybe that helps him,
Yeah, I think Wentz is going to be good this week. They're both QB1s. I think Allen's the way to go, but I think this one's pretty close. Just because I think Wentz has a really good floor. Because you don't really run on the Lions. Everything they get is going to be off of Carson Wentz's hand. But the other side of the coin is Buffalo's home against a team that's really struggling. The concern here would be Buffalo gets everything defensively. you know, they could really own Dalton today.
I want to come clean here.
I'm with you. I'd go Allen.
The texters have to, if it comes to Josh Allen, I think you have to defer to Pete on this one, because I see a young Steve Grogan in him, like a 1976 Steve Grogan, and I've got a little bit of man crush on him, so I'm going to lean towards Allen quite a bit.
I've been defending Josh Allen ever since he came out. There were people who said he can't play.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I do. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was a guy where we haven't figured out whether he's totally going to make it yet as a winning quarterback, but when you've got his type, I mean, in terms of just being a block of clay,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't get any better.
He's also got a perfect partner in John Brown. You know, he's the freneticness of that offense when he's on the run scrambling. He can just toss it down the field. Smokey Brown can get open.
You know, I like what they've done with Brown and with Beasley. Beasley, they're using him as you would normally use Beasley, but it's a good fit. But I like the fact that they're not just using Brown as some type of deep weapon.
Yeah.
They're using the full John Brown skill set. He's a really good route runner. He comes back to the football when the quarterback's running around. He's a really good receiver for Josh Allen, as you said. It's an excellent fit. And I really hope Smokey Brown stays healthy this year, because that's a fun thing to watch.
That's the key. All right, we're going to break. We're going to hit your text at 37937. All your lineup decisions coming up. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to the Fantasy Football Hour. Here's Jim Hackett and Pete Davidson on Sports Radio, WEEI.
All right, last segment of the Fantasy Football Hour. We've got hundreds of texts to get to, Pete. Lots and lots of people coming at us.
I'm sure we'll get them all.
Yeah, no, we're going to hit it. So, hey, look.
Anybody we don't hit Jim or myself on Twitter after the show. We'll help you out.
Yep, Pete's at Rotobon, and I'm at WEI Hacksaw. But here we go. Let's hit it, all right? Lightning round. 978, Mecole Hardman or Terry McLaurin?
Hardman.
I agree. 561, Austin Hooper or TJ Hockenson?
Really close. I think Hooper gives you more floor. I think Hockenson gives you more ceiling.
Depends on what you need.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I have them at 9 and 10, Hockenson 9, Hooper 10, so I would lean slightly to Hockenson.
Right there. Yeah, I would agree. 603, PPR needs 3. Manny Sanders, Calvin Ridley, like those two, Sony Michel, DeMarcus Robinson, Larry Fitzgerald. I'm leaning towards the first three there. Manny,
yeah,
Ridley.
Definitely not. So I'm gonna have to use the pencil here. Give them to me again.
Manny Sanders.
Manny, yep.
Calvin Ridley. Sony Michel against the Jets. DeMarcus Robinson in the shootout with Baltimore. Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay, I'm definitely taking Fitz. I'm definitely taking Sony. I'm not going to take DeMarcus here. And I'm going to take Manny.
Okay, taking Manny over Calvin Ridley.
Well, it's close. You know, I mean, look, Ridley... Did they say PPR or non?
PPR.
Yeah. Ridley and Manny are really close. In full PPR, I think I'm going to go Manny for floor. If you want to go Ridley for ceiling, I can see that.
Yep, and he's playing really well. So.
Yeah, I rank 0.5 PPR. In full PPR, I think Sanders is a really strong play. Right. Sony's got so much floor. And Fitz, that game there, just going to throw the ball a ton.
Yep.
So that's the way I would go. There's no wrong way to go. Those are five really good plays. They're all fairly tight. I would bench DeMarcus and Ridley.
Okay.
I think you have a ton of floor if you go that way.
Okay. It's smart. Good rationale. 413 PPR, Robert Woods or Larry Fitzgerald?
Robert Woods.
I take Woods. We like Fitz.
That is really,
that's
really
close.
I'm going to take Fitz.
You are?
Yeah.
All right. I'm leaning Woods there.
It's really close. I have Fitz at 21, Woods at 22.
Mm.
It's really close, but they're just, that game is going to be high volume, and Fitz has been, he's been a receiver one so far.
Yeah.
He's a top 12 receiver.
No, he's definitely the security blanket for Murray. There's no doubt about it. 508.
Tough call, though.
508, bunch of quarterback questions. Carson Wentz or Josh Allen? I think we covered that one.
Allen, but it's close.
508, Carlos Hyde or Raheem Mostert?
I'm going to go with Raheem. I think he's got more big playability.
All right. I'm just going to do some either-ors here as we kind of roll out.
Yeah,
508, Rex Burkhead or James White? I'm leaning White there.
Yeah, White, especially if it's PPR.
Yep. 978, Frank Gore or James Conner? Closer than you want it to be, but Conner.
True, Conner, though, yeah.
475, Jimmy G or Wentz? Leaning Wentz there. Although Jimmy G played well last week.
Yeah, Jimmy G did play well. That's a close one. I've got Garoppolo as 12, Wentz at 9, but their projection's almost identical. I think Wentz gives you a little more floor.
Okay.
He has to get his action by the pass. Garoppolo could have a bunch of running stuff on his team.
Brady or Wentz?
Whew, very close. I'm going to go Brady. Very close.
Juju or DeMarcus Robinson, going Juju there. Don't give up on Juju.
Gotta go with the volume.
Yep. 9-7-8, Mike Williams or Randall Cobb? Mike Williams. Yep. Flex, D-Rob, Shady. Nah, I can't. That's too long. Let's see. sorry, dude. get us on Twitter. Actually, I can do it. Flex, D-Rob, Shady, or Gore?
D-Rob, Shady, or Gore.
That's kind of close.
I'm going to go Shady.
Shady McCoy. Probably a safe play.
Wait, D-Rob, DeMarcus Robinson?
Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson.
I'll go DeMarcus Robinson.
Okay. And if we missed you, which I know I did, we tried to get as many as we could.
You go Shady for floor, DeMarcus for upside there.
All right. One more. Raheem Mostert or James White? Quarter PPR.
Mostert.
Okay. All right, that's it. Catch me at WEI Hacksaw. Catch Pete at Rotobomb. We'll get to as many of your questions as we can. So long.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.